Welcome again to South Point. My name is Tanner. I'm on staff here. Thanks for tuning in, whether you're tuning in through Facebook or through our website. Thanks for joining us today. What we do right now is we open up scripture, God's word, the Bible. We talk about a portion of it, how it's relevant for you and for your world, and our church and our community as a whole. And today we are going to do the same thing. What we have been doing these last several weeks, we've been talking about the elements of life and in particular, faith that have not changed, that have remained steady through this. And we're going to do that again today. We're talking about something today called sharing your story. Sharing your story, specifically of faith, and how that can make a difference in other people's lives. Now, I'm someone who loves stories. I have stories of pranks, sad stories, stories of celebration, funny stories. And in fact, if you really want to show me your love for me, one thing that I have learned about myself is you can just sit and listen to my stories and laugh and be engaged, and that would be a great day for me. Maybe I love stories more than most, but I think that stories are so very powerful because they communicate incredible truths. Oftentimes when people ask me about South Point, they ask me about what kind of church we are. I tell them stories. I share stories about what we call our big give, where several times in the past, usually before Christmas, we say we're going to take an entire offering and give it all away to different community organizations or needs within our local community and globally, and how we have given away so much money. And it's been the first year so surprising to me how generous South Pointers were. I tell stories about how South Point loves to partner with organizations in the community and how this is the heartbeat. I tell stories of people finding acceptance and home and not walking through difficult situations alone. I tell stories about how one Sunday, several years ago, that I decided that I would basically just confess a lot of things that I was struggling with. And I called this sermon Confession and Dreams, and how after that sermon, I felt so much love and support from people just for transparency and honesty and vulnerability, and how that really captures the heart of South Point. And I think stories do that. And when we talk about stories of faith, oftentimes, if you are someone who has faith, you look back at your story and you see what you used to be like before you met and encountered and experienced Jesus. You will look back at some of the situations that you faced in life and how you handled those. You will look back at your attitude. You will look back at some of the actions that you have taken and the consequences. You will look back at relationships or how you walk through crisis. And you will see that your life was a certain way before Jesus, and then you met Jesus. And now, even though you are not perfect, that you have a different way about you, a different perspective. And oftentimes our stories are before and after stories. And I believe that those stories have so much power. When I've been thinking about this situation that we are all facing, my hope is by the end of this that we will have stories of faith to share. I mean, really the question for today is, what's your story going to be? Is it going to be a story of generosity, of faith, of sacrifice, of prayer, of relational healing, of taking steps? What's your story going to be? And I think that we keep this in mind and that we be ready to share our story. So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at just a small portion of scripture as a really a jumping pad for us to launch off of, because this small scripture includes a lot about how we can share our stories well. So I'm going to focus in on three of those things. I'm going to read this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." So I'm going to mention three things And just to warn you, the second thing is going to be by far the longest. So the first thing he says here is, always be prepared to share your story. Now, we are people right now are focusing in, we're focusing in a lot on preparation, how we can prepare to have enough food, how we can prepare to be safe, how we can even prepare financially. Preparation is really on the forefront of almost everyone's mind. And what Peter is saying here is, hey, when it comes to your story, I want you to always be ready to share it. Jesus frequently talked about preparation and readiness. And in fact, if you go back and you read Matthew chapter 25, he says, just be ready. I want you to be ready. And Peter is encouraging his readers, his audience, to be ready to share their story. And when we look back at Peter's story, his story is really interesting. You can go back and read his story of walking alongside of Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then in particular, in the book of Acts, which continues the story of Jesus by telling the story of the church and how the church first started. You will see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the disciples, the early followers of Jesus, are simply called witnesses. They're witnessing to something. They're attesting to something that they had seen, that they had experienced, and that is the resurrection of Jesus, that they had seen Jesus die and they'd seen him live again. And they are testifying to this fact that in reality, that's what their life has been like. They live life one way, and now they're doing things completely different, living life completely different. They are witness to the fact of what he has done in their life. And you read ahead to Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and when it describes Peter, it just describes Peter as someone who is an ordinary, unschooled person, but he had been with Jesus. And that's his story. And Peter says, I'm not extraordinary. I'm just an ordinary person. And I am always prepared to share my story. So he encourages his readers, first of all, to always be prepared. And second of all, not only should we always be prepared to share a story, but we should do so because people are looking for hope. If you go back and you look at 1 Peter 3:15, what Peter says is that we should be prepared. Why and when? When someone asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. In other words, if you are a hopeful person, if people see that your hope comes from Jesus, they may ask you the question, why? Where does your hope come from? Because people hunger for hope. We're fueled by hope. We notice hope in others. And if someone sees in you a reason for hope, they may indeed ask you about it. Now, as human beings, we can find hope in any number of different places. As we've talked about at South Point, one place that many people often find hope is in politics and in government. It usually goes like this. It usually says, okay, when this person is elected or when this person is out of office, then the future will be better. And I am not downplaying the importance of justice and legislation. Those things are very, very important. But there is a limitation to politics and to legislation, is that you cannot legislate a human heart to change, to transform. And when we look at reasons for hope, we say that politics indeed can be limited for the hope that they provide. There are other limitations to other places that we look. In reality, many of us can probably reflect back on our life even a few months ago and say, you know what, most of the hope that I had was actually tied into my own financial security or my own job, or looking ahead that things were going to be better in the future. And now we're in this situation where we say, you know, that is simply not the case. And our hope is the foundation can feel shaken. So we are people fueled by hope and looking for hope. So if someone asks you for the reason, the hope that you have, he says, I want you to be prepared to share. Now, when I think about hope, I think about one of my favorite movies, Shawshank Redemption, which is mainly about the character Andy, who is falsely accused and convicted of a double murder. So he is sentenced to prison. And while he is in prison, he encounters Morgan Freeman's character. And they develop this friendship. Andy, when he is behind the walls, he is still holding on to this hope. He has this great scene. In fact, there's a couple great scenes that center on the word hope, but there's this great scene where he is talking about the power of music. And he says, you know, even though I can't listen to music with my ears, it's still deep within me, still deep within my soul. And he says, it gives me hope that there's something beyond these walls. And at that moment, Morgan Freeman's character basically tells him to pause. And he says, you need to get that out of your mind because hope is a dangerous thing. It's dangerous to be out of touch with reality, to be looking ahead and say that this is going to automatically be better. And he says that is not always the case. Hope can be a dangerous thing. And I think many of us can probably relate to Morgan Freeman's sentiment there. I know for me, I heard this Christian song that came out a few years ago, this worship song that is called Yes and Amen, talking about how the promises of God, every promise of God is simply a yes and amen. And my first gut reaction to that song is, hey, that can feel like a dangerous thing, because what happens if, you know, people pray for healing and people pray for a situation to turn around and it doesn't? Are we going to leave and we're going to feel like God has not kept up his promises? So we look and we say, well, hope like that can be a dangerous thing, and we echo the words of Morgan Freeman. But I think the important distinction here is that there is a difference between hope and blind optimism. There's a difference between hope and blind optimism. Now, when I think about this, I actually think about a story that I heard recently that was one of my favorite stories probably a decade ago, but reheard it and remembered it. It's a story of Admiral Jim Stockdale, who was captured during the Vietnam War. In fact, he was tortured over 20 times, spent 8 years in captivity, and was surrounded by other people in captivity. And he tells a story about how he made it out. When he talks about this, he said, I never lost hope that I was going to see my wife again, that I was going to be out. He said, I never lost hope for that. But when he talks about the people who struggled most, he said, you know, there are people who were basically blind optimists. And the optimist would say to themselves, they would say, oh, we will be out by Christmas. And then Christmas would come and they wouldn't be out. And then they'd say, well, we would be out by Easter. And then Easter would come and they would still not be out. They would still be in captivity. And he says, that sort of optimism, yes, that can maybe help in the short term, but not in the long term when reality really sets in and ends up crushing you. And I love this quote that he said. I'm going to read a quote from him. He said, I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining moment of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade. What he is doing is he's setting apart real, actual hope from blind optimism. Now I think back to the movie, and I think back to Shawshank Redemption, where at the very end of the movie, when Morgan Freeman's character is actually out and he reads this letter from Andy, and Andy says, hope is a good thing. Maybe it's the best thing. And no good thing ever dies. No good thing ever dies. And this gives Morgan Freeman the hope. Now, when I relate all of this to Jesus and why you and I can have hope right now in the midst of what we are facing, it's simply because he does not die. Because Jesus is alive. In fact, Peter kicks off his whole book, his whole letter that we read. We read from chapter 3, verse 15. But if you look back to the very start of this book, the third verse in the whole book, he talks about hope. And he talks about how it is alive. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, this hope that you and I have, hope that God gives us mercy, hope that God gives us a new birth, the reason we have this hope is because of the resurrection of Jesus. Because he is alive, that is why your hope and my hope can also be alive. This is why God can keep his promises in the end. You see, initially, I thought back to that song, Yes and Amen. And I thought, well, you know, that's just blind optimism. That's not actual hope. But then I happened to be reading scripture, and I realized that that song actually was built on a particular verse of scripture. It comes in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. What he is saying here is, hey, if you really want hope, he says, this is not blind optimism, because in the end, you are going to be with Jesus. You're going to be with him. He's going to be your God. You're going to be his people. And there's going to be a day where there's no more mourning or crying or pain or death. That old order of things is going to pass away, and there's going to be a new order of things because of him. So when we tell our story, one, we always have to be prepared. Two, we have to realize that people are in search of hope, and I believe that they're in search of a hope that is beyond this world. And three, very shortly, what he says at the end of 1 Peter chapter 3 is that we should, or at the end of chapter 3, verse 15, that we should always be prepared to share our story with gentleness and respect. When he's talking about respect, he's talking about sharing our story in a way that doesn't include any fear or intimidation, that we're just honest. And then when he talks about gentleness, this word is actually a word that is very, very closely related to selflessness. He's saying, hey, it's not really about you, that you're sharing your story in a way that Jesus would. And you're sharing your story in a way with gentleness and respect. And when we look back at how Jesus invited people in, Jesus didn't see people as targets to be converted. No, he saw human beings that he could be friends with and enjoy. And the same can be true of us. We share our story. To do so for others, because people are looking for hope, looking for God, looking for confidence in the future. And the great thing about this is when you share your story, I believe you're also sharing the story of Jesus and telling his story, what he is like. And you can attest to that in your own life. So what we're going to do right now over the next few minutes is to listen to a friend of mine and a ministry leader here at South Point, Joanna, as she and I talked about the importance of sharing your story and the difference that it can make in other people's life. So I'm here with Joanna. Joanna, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Joanna is the leader, ministry leader of Celebrate Recovery here at South Point. Celebrate Recovery, if you're new to South Point, helps people heal from hurts, habits, and hangups, and really provides some freedom from some of the things that have weighed us down for a long time. So I thought it would be great to ask Joanna to come here to help just share the importance of telling our story, because she has shared her story at South Point. So Joanna, just a little bit for people who don't know you, what's been your story of faith?
So to sum it up quickly, I grew up in a Christian home, you know, was very, very religious, very like absolutely in love with God, had some bad things happen in my childhood. I was sexually abused by two different family members. My parents got divorced. I fell into a really, really deep depression, which lasted a few years. And after my parents got divorced, I just kind of lost touch with God and then hated God for a very long time. Just was really mad at God for letting bad things happen in my life. So in my adult life, when I was much smarter and wiser, got myself into some really bad situations, started bartending and drinking a lot. I got myself into some bad relationships, was being physically abused, emotionally abused, just putting myself in a lot of bad situations and just having a lot of unfortunate things happen, and just kind of cut God out from my life. And probably about four or five years ago, just really started noticing the pieces in my life that were missing, the things that, you know, I had when I was a kid, and I knew all the time in my heart that God was missing, and just started to have a relationship with him again. And my life was really changing, and there was amazing things happening, but at the same time, there were still these hurts, habits, and hangups that kind of dragged me down. So as much as I was very happy in my relationship with God, there were still other relationships that I needed to make amends. There were other, you know, I was still feeling depression and anxiety and, you know, still having anger and bitterness towards people that have hurt me in the past. So then we started Celebrate Recovery at South Point, and just going through the steps absolutely changed my life.
Yeah, it's been incredible just to hear your story and really to watch it unfold. See your story, your family story, to see God work. This is one of the best things in life, in my opinion. And I was really inspired when you shared your story on Sunday. So just on a Sunday when we were meeting in person a couple of years ago. So just looking back to that, if you can just share with people, what motivated you to share your story on a Sunday?
Just seeing the changes in my own life, seeing the way that I interacted with people, the things that I valued, what was important. I knew the change in myself. I mean, I could see a change in myself, which I think it's hardest to see the change in yourself. But just hearing people around me, like, I've been praying for you and I can't believe that, like, you know, the things that I prayed for, like, it's you, you know, you, those changes happened in your life and you are that person that we knew you were and we hoped you would be again. Mm-hmm. And I think just the freedom that I feel from those things, I think, you know, the abuse and, you know, that has held me down for such a long time. And I just wanted to share, because the freedom that I feel is like nothing I ever imagined I would feel. I never imagined that I wouldn't feel like there was no way out. I would, you know, that this life was worth living. And mm-hmm. I think about it now and I can't even imagine ever feeling that way again.
Yeah, I think it's so motivating to hear how God has worked in people's lives, to see it up close and personal. And yet oftentimes it seems like people of faith may be hesitant to share their own story. Either they don't think it's valuable enough, or they don't view themselves as having that great of a story. So just from your perspective, as you're leading Celebrate Recovery and really helping a lot of people share their own story, and we all have different stories, just what do you think the value is in having people share their own story?
I think, you know, the personal value to me is when I share my story, it kind of takes me back to remember who I was. I think for other people, it's just helpful to hear, like, someone else is going through that too. And the original reason that I shared my story, I want to say it was last year, was because I heard someone else share their story and I felt moved by what they were saying. And I felt like I've been there too. And God's brought me back from that. And I think it's just, you know, it can encourage someone, even if you think your story might not, there's always someone who's been there too or has been somewhere like that and can resonate with your story. And you never know, you know, sharing your story can change someone's life and can just let them know that there is hope out there.
That's really great. I couldn't agree more. I love really the domino effect of sharing story that happened at South Point. You shared your story because someone else shared their story, and that person shared their story because someone else shared their story. To see that happen has been really exciting, really fun. And in reality, there will be more people who will share their story because of you and because of others at Celebrate Recovery, others at South Point. So just my encouragement to people today has been to share their story. Now, recently, you also put together a document to help people share their story. So what tips do you have if someone wants to share their story?
Definitely write it down. Otherwise, you start rambling, which I do. And, you know, set aside prayer time with God. I mean, I think just before telling, even before speaking to someone about God, you know, you can ask for the Holy Spirit to, you know, help you to say the right things. I think that's important in telling your story, you know, setting aside that time with God to prepare yourself. And just being honest. It's hard to put yourself out there. And especially, you know, when in Celebrate Recovery, you're talking about some of the bad things that you've done or, you know, some of the negative things that have happened in your life. So just remembering that the more honest that you are, you know, the more that you might reach that person who's been there too and who feels like they're not good enough.
That's right. Yeah, the more honest you are, really the more relatable you are. And it can really apply to things that you've done, actions that you've taken or not taken, thoughts that you've had, attitudes, and really it just comes back to who we used to be, who we were, and what God has done and what he is creating us to be, who he is creating us to be right now. Kind of like the people said to you, you're you now. You're really the person that I dreamed that God created you to be, which is really fun, exciting to see, I'm sure, for the people, you know, in your life. So thanks again for everything you do for those in recovery, for leading here at South Point to Celebrate Recovery, and for sharing your story today, sharing with us. So thanks, Joanna, and we'll catch you later.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us today. I have two encouragements before we take off. One is if you could fill out the Connect card below, just a digital way for us to get to know you a little bit better. You can mark ways that you would like to follow up with the message, with the service today. That would be great. And two, we would love for you to join us in our virtual lobby today, right after the service, via the Zoom link below. A special thing is happening today. For the first time, we are having a kids breakout in the Zoom virtual lobby. So you can log on with your kids and say hey to everyone, and then you will have a breakout where kids can get to see other kids and say hi as well. So we'd love for you to join that. I hope you have a great rest of your day.